All right, let's turn in our Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Thank you for coming back tonight. I'm excited to share scripture with you, read scripture with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Who is like a wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter, there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. For he does not know what will happen, so who can tell him when it will occur? Verse 8, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Some of your Bibles may say wind. Anybody's Bible say wind? Yours? No one has power over the wind to retain the wind. Some people like that translation because it's separate from what he says next. And no one has power in the day of death. No one can control the weather. No one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. Definitely no one is controlling the wind today. That's for sure. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Okay, we better pray about this. Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much, God, for a truly blessed Lord's Day. So thankful for all that you've already done for us. And I'm just grateful to you, God, for your love toward us. And I'm grateful to you for another opportunity tonight to be with brothers and sisters in Christ, to worship you together, to sing, Lord Jesus, about your death in our place and your resurrection so that we could have eternal life. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, God, for your word. Thank you. We get to read it and share it together. Please bless the reading of your word. Please, Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge and in our grace. Please, Lord, let your word wash over us tonight and cleanse us and make us more like Christ. And Father, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Can't lie to you. It's tough reading through this book of Ecclesiastes. There's some wisdom here, and I'm hoping that we can just dig in and get a little bit of this. Last time we were in Ecclesiastes, we read the last verse of chapter 7 only. Truly this I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. And we talked about the suffering that's in the world because of sin, because of man's schemes. And we talked about how Jesus delivers us from that. And I've read many times, Warren Wiersbe, he likes to quote this, that living by faith is living without scheming. Living without scheming, having no ulterior motive, having no agenda. But men, they live by scheming, and it causes trouble, and it causes suffering. And then, in this section that we just read, Solomon talks about the government. Can you see a connection there between men's schemes and then the government? And how I do believe that lots of suffering in the world is because of those who are in power, who are living according to their schemes. And I know we all could say amen to that, and we could all get really mad right now talking about a whole bunch of stuff, but that's not the wisdom that Solomon gives us here. And that's not the wisdom that God's Word gives us in many other places. And I'm looking forward to reading this with you. Let's talk about verse 1 in chapter 8. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. Okay, so I'm going to try to tie this into what is going on here in these verses. So you have men scheming. You have the king and those in authority who are given to wickedness. And all of this is causing trouble. And it can definitely cause trouble for those who belong to Christ. But when the trouble comes to them, there is something that takes place in them because they're trusting in the Lord with all their heart, and that wisdom gives them peace. And when they're walking in that wisdom and they have that peace of God, no matter what's taking place, they're being persecuted for their faith, that wisdom makes their face shine. The sternness of their face is changed. See, we talk about in Sunday school, they have two goats, you know, that butt heads all the time. Well, the man who's walking in this wisdom, that's not how he's looking at the situation. He's looking at it in peace, saying, God is in control, and I'm standing on his side. Whatever comes, comes. Does that make you think of anybody in the Bible? A gentleman who is in that kind of situation, and his face shined. That guy's name is Stephen. That guy's name is Stephen. I'd like to read that with you. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, this well-known chapter where the first deacons were chosen. One of those deacons was named Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. We're going to start at verse 8 and read about him and what took place here. It says, Acts chapter 6, verse 8, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." You know, he was chosen by an apostle, and the apostles laid their hands on him and gave him that power to do those signs and wonders. Verse 9, "Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke." What happens when they lose the argument? They get violent. So verse 11 says, "Then they secretly induced men to say, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.' And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, 'This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us.'" There's all the false accusations coming at him. Everybody turns and looks at him to see what he's going to say. Verse 15, "And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel." Amazing. And Stephen begins to speak. And chapter 7 is a long chapter because Stephen lays out the history of Israel continually rejecting the Holy Spirit, rejecting the men that God has chosen. And at the end of his speech, chapter 7, verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." That's what the Word of God does. That's what the Word of God does to people. And they have to make a choice, right? Because on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, it says they were cut to the heart. And they said, "What should we do?" And they humbled themselves and repented and believed. Here you have men who are cut to the heart, and they choose a different path. They choose to harden themselves instead of humble themselves. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth." Have you ever been so angry you gnashed your teeth? This is insane. But just so you know, I think the world is quickly going insane. "They gnashed at him with their teeth, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord." It's just so crazy. Plug their ears so they can't hear while they're running at him, gnashing their teeth. Verse 58, "And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. His body fell asleep, but he went to be with Jesus, who was standing there ready to receive him. And Stephen had such peace standing there in defense of the name of Jesus Christ. His face was shining. But we're told in the book of 1 Peter that this type of thing happens to us. It's the glory of God. 1 Peter 4:14, speaking of the same topic, persecution, being reproached for the name of Christ. 1 Peter 4:14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. That's what's taking place here. And I don't feel like I can explain it as powerfully as I want to, but I just believe that when you come to the moment, and this takes wisdom, as we're going to talk about, because this moment doesn't just take place over any old thing that you get mad about or that you don't like, but when the moment comes where you have to take your stand, we trust that God will be there and he will fill you with his spirit, and the glory of God will be resting there upon you, and they'll be able to see it. You'll be able to see it in your face. How about that? Amazing thing to think about. But we need wisdom to get to that position. Because in Ecclesiastes 8, 2, he starts off by saying, I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Keep the king's commandment because of your oath to God. And what does that mean? Well, that's the New Testament version of that is in Romans chapter 13. And we're told there that all authority comes from God. And so when we place ourselves under God's authority, we're placing ourselves under all the authorities that he places in our life. So we submit to those authorities because of our submission to God. We're told that in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. The police get a really bad rap these days, but if you just wouldn't break the law, you wouldn't have to see them every day. And if you do have to see them, my advice is listen to what they say and obey their commands. You may think I'm weird, but I like to watch videos of police body cameras. And most of them show someone who refuses to just listen. And that's why it's a video on YouTube. If they would have just listened, that would not have made it to YouTube. Do you want to be unafraid? Verse 3, do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, not only because you can get in trouble, but also for conscience' sake, because we've given our heart to the Lord. And so we are submitting to the authorities he places in our life. And then verse 6 says something nobody really likes. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Now, the government does a ton of stuff that we don't like. Isn't that true? That is so true. And what happens is, I hear people say things and want to start things to resist the authority. And oftentimes, they're wrong because it's not the right time. And yes, there are things going on that we don't like, and I have actually heard people call for stopping paying taxes. And immediately I think of this verse. I say, nope. I know the Boston Tea Party happened way back in the day, but you gotta know the time and the season. And what people do, they're going to get themselves in trouble, and then they're going to be no good for anybody. It's hasty. It's too hasty that people want to fly off the handle. Go back to Ecclesiastes now. This is what he says. Do not be hasty in Ecclesiastes 8. Verse 3. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not be hasty to remove yourself from under their authority. Does that make sense to everybody? Don't be quick to rebel. Don't be quick to quit. Don't be quick to be trying to start a civil war. Have you heard people say those words? I've heard those words. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4, you can see a verse that gives us a little more insight. It says, if the spirit of a ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. For conciliation pacifies great offenses. We read in Sunday school this morning, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. We're not trying to start wars. We're trying to make peace. And if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, stay. Stay in your place and trust God. You know that I've preached before about voting. It's an election year. And I hear lots of people say, I quit, this is pointless, I'm not voting. I don't think that's the right attitude either. We can't quit. We're not rebelling. We can't quit. We got to be part of the process. You can apply this. Let's bring this a little closer to home. You can apply this in a lot of ways in life. I don't think you should be quick to quit your job because you don't like something the boss does. I don't think people should be quick to quit their marriage because they don't like something their spouse did. But isn't this how people are? So quick to give up. Well, you don't know my boss. He's harsh. Well, I have a scripture for that. That's what I do. I don't know what else to do. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. Oh, boy. We're in the right section. Verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. That sounds just like Ecclesiastes. We're in the right spot. Verse 18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. What credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. There's a lot of people who really miss out on the blessing of standing their ground because they think if there's anything going wrong in their life, they got to quit. You think you're going to go somewhere and find the perfect place to work? Everybody I know that has a job complain about their job. Where are you going to go? I always try to tell people, well, that happens at every place. You ever say stuff? Well, you know that happens at every place. I try to calm them down. Take it down a notch. De-escalate. Don't leave your post. And the way you can keep yourself underneath authority that's harsh is by remembering who you actually work for. Who you're actually serving. Ephesians chapter 6. Told you we were going to read some scripture together. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 through 9. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart. Man, that is tough. That's tough because it's saying you really just shouldn't be pretending. Like underneath, you're boiling. And the boss walks by and you're like, good morning, boss. And then as he walks away, you're like, rawr, rawr. That's not sincerity of heart. Am I wrong about that? With fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service. That's that thing I just played out for you there. That's eye service. As men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. At verse 9 we should read too, just in case you are the boss. And you masters do the same things to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. When it talks about slaves and masters, you know, there's a lot of people who complain about the Bible being for slavery. It's crazy. Here's what the Bible is doing. There are people who are slaves who come to Christ. And then they're like, what should we do? Should we rebel? Should we run away? And what's the Bible say? Serve them as if you're serving the Lord. If you could be free, do it. If you could be free, do it. But if you can't, serve the Lord. That's amazing. I have a question for you about government. We know we should be submitting to them. We know it's difficult. We know it's frustrating. I have a question for you. How often do you pray for them? I didn't want to ask that question because I don't pray for them very often. I was going to say names, but I don't pray for them very often. And the Bible's advice, in the first place, the first advice he gives is that we should pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. See, peaceable life in godliness and reverence, not turmoil and chaos and rebellion and overthrow. And it's so interesting, when you study about Paul writing these things, as a Roman citizen, he was under the Emperor Nero, who burned Christians at the stake. And he said, stuff like this. Pray for him. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We just don't think about this very often, but did you know that God wants to save even the worst politicians? That's awesome. Oh, you're not going to find a place where there's no problems. A country, a workplace, a marriage, you're going to have to learn to solve problems, not run from them. Okay, does all that I just said, does it have a limit? Yes, it does have a limit. Yes, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. Here it is. I'm going to bring it home. Ecclesiastes 8:3 is where we're at. So the first part of that verse says, do not be hasty to go from his presence. And the second part of that verse says, do not take your stand for an evil thing. Do not take your stand for an evil thing. Now, the only time the Bible gives us permission to say no to the authorities is when they specifically ask us to disobey God and his commands. Where is that in the Bible? You will remember well, Peter and John, they were arrested. They were arrested twice, actually. The first time they were arrested, they said, okay, we're going to let you go. You stop preaching the name of Jesus. And they immediately went out and started preaching the name of Jesus. And then they were arrested again, and they said, didn't we tell you to stop preaching the name of Jesus? And that's when Peter said those amazing words. He said, we ought to obey God, not men. And then he preached Christ to them. Right there. You read it. It's in Acts chapter 5. He just started preaching Christ right there. So there is a limit, but this isn't to be done hastily. We already talked about this, that this has to be done thoughtfully. It has to be done prayerfully. Because if you're wrong, it's going to do nothing but hurt you and lots of other people. We have to make this decision being led by God. In Ecclesiastes 8, look at verses 4 and 5. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. So this takes discernment to know the right time, to be able to judge the right issue that you're going to say no to. And there are several examples of this for us in Scripture. I'm just going to give them to you because it's important. And in Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh commanded the Hebrew midwives that when they went to help a woman give birth, if it was a son, they were to kill it. And if it was a daughter, they were to let it live. The Hebrew midwives refused to obey that command. They said, we're not killing any babies. We fear God. We're not killing any babies. And so they didn't. And all these boys were being born, and Pharaoh came and said, why aren't you killing the boys? And they made up a story. They said, well, these Hebrew women, they give birth like that. We can't even get there. Them babies are already out. And Exodus 1 says, God bless them because they took a stand and they would not murder. And you can apply that in many different situations. Again, there's a time. But we have a friend who used to be a pharmacist, and she was told she had to give out the morning after pill. She quit. Oh, I'm not murdering babies. There's a time when the government says you got to start breaking God's commands, you say no. You know Daniel, the stories in Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. King, we're not bowing down to your statue. We bow to God alone. And you do what you have to. Our God is able to deliver us. But even if he chooses not to, we're not bowing to your statue. Pastor's going through the Hebrews Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. There were some who gave their lives in Hebrews 11. And the world was not worthy of men like that. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they would not bow, and you know that Jesus met them in the fiery furnace and protected them. Daniel himself, you know that the king made a rule that you can't pray anymore. And Daniel was in the king's court when that was written, and he went home and he prayed. You can't tell me I can't pray. After Daniel was protected in the lion's den, the king called out, Daniel, did your God whom you serve continually protect you? And he said, yes. O king, my God, shut the lion's mouth, because I didn't do anything wrong to you, king. Awesome. That episode I mentioned in Acts chapter 5 with Peter and John, the second time before they were let go, they were beaten. And when they walked out of there, the Bible says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. That's a person whose face would be shining. Amazing. So it's a serious thing to disobey authority. It's not something that can be done lightly. It's not something that can't be done with much prayer and discernment. We don't do this just because we disagree with them or they make us do things we don't like. That's not enough. But if the time comes, and it may for us, we'll trust the Lord with all our heart. And we will fear him and not men. I don't really think that things are going to get better before Jesus comes. You know what's weird? There's so many people that I watch online that promise that the big great thing is coming. I don't think that's what the Bible says. The Bible says the Antichrist is coming. The Bible says the love of many will grow cold and lawlessness will abound. There's a great falling away coming, where people are going to turn their backs on God. That's what I read about. But as that's happening, we just have to remember that in Christ, we're on the winning side. We're on the winning side. We've got victory in him, and no one can take that away from us. Because here's the last thing. Let's read the rest of this section that we started. Ecclesiastes 8, 6. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment, though the misery of man increases greatly. And that happens. There is much misery on the earth. We are not here to deny it. For he does not know what will happen. Who can tell him when it will occur? Verse 8, no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. No one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. And wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. That's what we got to remember. They can act as wickedly as they choose, but their time will come. They don't have power over the day of death. They sure got a lot of power, and they like to exercise that power over people, lord it over them. But they don't have power in the day of death, and they don't have power in the day of judgment. Verse 9, all this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. There's some wisdom. Who are they really hurting? By acting the way they are and lording themselves over people, they're only hurting themselves. Whew, that's some wisdom. Okay, I wrote one last thing down. Can we read one more thing?
Sure.
Check this out. Psalm 37, verses 34 to 40, and then we'll pray. Psalm 37, verses 34 through 40, says this, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. That's the answer to it all. Oh, all right, let's all stand. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time in Your Word. Thank You for these precious promises. That although the wickedness of man increases, and those that are in authority, they lord themselves over people, we know that there is a time coming for judgment. And I pray, Lord, You'll help us to walk in that wisdom. Help us to remember that even in the difficult times, we're serving You and You are still in control. Even when the misery of man increases, God, You're still here. And our future, the future You purchased for us with Your own blood, the future that's guaranteed because of the resurrection, our future is sure. And because of that, Lord, I pray You help us to be at peace, to be faithful, to do the difficult things. And God, if You so lead us, to take our stand when it's time. Thank You, God, for Your great love. We love You so much. We're so thankful You loved us first. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.